Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. Chodesh Tov to all. Today was Rosh Chodesh Av. We are in the 9 days. Today's learning should be an Aliyah Neshama for Miriam Frod, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. May her Neshama have a continuous Aliyah in the merit of this Torah learning. She should be a Melitza Yoshar for her family and all of Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael. During these difficult days of Bein HaMitzarim, and specifically the 9 days, when we long for the ultimate Geula. Someone just sent me an interesting email, Mamish right before class, 8:19. So I'm just going to quote it because it's actually about Ahava and love. So I thought it was really interesting that it just came in 10 minutes before Shir. So I thought just as an introduction, this email is from Esther Edelman. She is part of my Monday Night Queens Sha'arei group. So she adds that it's from a sefer, A Time to Weep, quoting Rav Tzvi Meir Zilberberg, a grandson of Rav Gedalia Shar. The Holy Sfarim teach the days of Bein HaMitzarim, these 3 weeks from Shiva Asar Tammuz through Tisha B'Av. These days of Bein HaMitzarim correspond to the days between Rosh Hashanah and Tosh Shmini Atzeres. I never heard this before. She doesn't write why that would be. I'll be interested, but just listen to me. Just bear with me, okay? The Holy Sfarim teach the days of Bein HaMitzarim correspond to days between Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, and Shmini Atzeres. Based on the parallel, the last 8 days of the 3 weeks, therefore, from 2 Av, tonight is early on Beis Av, until Tisha B'Av, correspond to the 8 days of Sukkot. Based on this time calendar, therefore, these 8 days, the last 8 days of the 3 weeks, which are from 2 Av through 9 Av, correspond to the 8 days of Sukkot. What is Sukkos? Sukkos is the holiday of the Anane HaKavod. Kibbutz Sukkos Hoshapti Es B'nei Yisrael Bo'tzeisi Es Ha'am Mimitzrayim. God caused us to dwell in the booths, in the clouds of glory, when he took us out of Egypt. The Yidden were protected during this time by the clouds of glory. So in Sukkos, we remember the Anane HaKavod, the clouds of glory, that protected us in the desert after we left Egypt. And we know the Gemara tells us that there were 3 Parnasim Tovim, 3 good sustainers for the people in the desert. The well of water was in the schus of Miriam. The man that fell from heaven was in the schus of Moshe. And the Anane HaKavod were in the schus of Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen's strength was to help the people feel Hashem's love. Aaron was a person who was an Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Ohev Esabrius, or Makarvan LaTorah. He loved peace, he pursued peace, he loved people. He brought them close to Torah. Aaron wanted everybody to feel loved as a child of Hashem. So these last days of the 3 weeks, these last 8 days, correspond to the last 8 days of the time period from Rosh Hashanah to Shmini Atzeres, which means that they correspond to the days of Sukkos. Sukkos is the day when we sit in booths to remember that God sat us in the Anane HaKavod. The Anane HaKavod were in the schus of Aharon HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen reminds us of Ahava and Shalom. Isn't it interesting that Aaron HaKohen's Yirtzei was today? Today is Rosh Chodesh Av, and it's the Yirtzei of Aaron HaKohen. So it can't be an accident that these last 8 days, which begin right after the Yirtzei of Aaron HaKohen, remind us parallel to Sukkos. Sukkos is the Yom Tov, we remember the Anane HaKavod. The Anane HaKavod were in the Schus of Aaron HaKohen. The name Av, furthermore, is from the word Av, Father, reminds us of our Heavenly Father, who, quote, never stops loving us. So the Yurtzeit of Aaron HaKohen on Rosh Chodesh Av and the Yom Tov of the Anane HaKavod, which remind us of Aaron HaKohen, all come to remind us of Hashem's love for us. And not only does God love us, but during this time we need to strive to increase our love for each other in the model of Aaron HaKohen. Aaron loved people, all of the Sabrios, Umakarvan LaTorah, he also wanted them to come close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So he wanted us to feel our love for the fellow members of Knesset Yisrael, and he also wanted us to remember that God loves us, and therefore we love him. Every father wants his children to be loved. So I thought it was very beautiful. I never heard it before. I didn't see the source inside, but Esther's a very learned woman, and she often shares ha'aris with me, and I thought it really corresponds to the topic of what we're learning, because not only is it Bein HaMitzarim, of course, but it's interesting that these last 8 days, which begin tonight, correspond to Sukkos, which is a time of Anane HaKavod, time of divine love, and we remember Aaron HaKohen. Okay. So with that as our introduction to Shir, We will now continue. If you remember last time, what we are doing is the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, Maimonides' thoughts, if you will, or halachos, in the 10th parak, the 10th chapter of Hilchos Teshuvah, the halachos of repentance or return to God. And he ends this whole section on Hilchos Teshuvah with talking about what it means to love Hashem, to be in an intimate and loving and beloved relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So I'm going to start to screen share. And I will take you back. Last time, if you remember, we were going through the halachos, so of the Rambam. So here we go. It's right here. Okay. So let me just move you. Okay. Good. Okay. So last time we ended by doing halacha dalid, just the pshat, but I didn't have time to comment on it. So we're going to go back to halacha dalid. If you recall, let's just recap very quickly. A person should not say, the Rambam writes, Hilchos Teshuvah, Perek Yud, halacha alef. You shouldn't, I'm just recapping very quickly. You shouldn't say I'm doing the mitzvos and I'm being involved in wisdom, so I should get brachos that are written in the Torah, so that I should get olam haba. And you shouldn't say I'm staying away from averos because I'm scared of Gehenna. That's only the way of the Amei Ha'aretz, the ignoramuses, and women and young children, and they are not on the level. We mechanech them with yira, fear, but they're not on the level of having ahava. So one who serves God out of ahava is involved in Torah and mitzvos and goes in the path of wisdom, not for any other reason, not so he should get good, only so that he should do the truth because it's the truth. Ella, you remember this from last time? Osa ames. One who loves God does the truth mipnesha, who emes, because it's absolutely true, and in the end, the kavod will come. What is appropriate love? It is that he should love Hashem with such a great love, an extra love, a strong love, very much, until his soul is tied up, is bound up with love of God. V'nimtza shogai batamid, you're constantly thinking about love of God, as if you are a sick person, not sick with a physical illness, emotionally sick with love. We even have an expression in English, love sick, that you can't even take your mind away from love of that woman, even for a minute. And you're always thinking about her. Ben b'shifto, when you're sitting down. Ben b'kumo, when you get up. Ben b'shashu ocho v'shosa, when a person is eating and drinking, he is always thinking about his beloved. If you take a man and a woman who are passionately in love, it's hard for them to think about anything else. Even more than this love is the love for God in the heart of those who love him. Always be contemplating, thinking about Hashem, like the Torah says, b'chol avavchu, b'chol nafshecha, and like Shlomo Melech says in Shir HaShirim, I am sick. Ki cholas ahava ani, I am sick with love. And all of Shir HaShirim is a mashal. Okay, that was a 2 to 3 minute, even less than 3 minutes, I think, recap of what we did last time. Don't forget the chat feature. Even when I'm in screen share, I do see if a message comes in, so I can address questions or comments. Okay, new. Parag Yud, Halacha Dalet of Rambam's Mishneh Torah. Amru Chachamim HaRishonim. The first sages say, Shama Tomar, lest you say, Hareini Lamei Torah Bishvil She'ei Ashir. The wise sages told us, the earlier sages told us, maybe a person will say, behold, I will learn Torah. Why? So that I will become rich. Maybe I will learn Torah Bishvil She'ekor Rabbi, so that somebody will call me Rabbi. Bishvil She'ekabel Schar Bolam Haba. So these are all not appropriate reasons the Rambam is saying to be learning Torah. The Chachamim Mishonim say, you should not learn so that you will become wealthy. You should not say, I will learn Torah, so I will have a title of distinction. You should not say, I will learn Torah in order to get my reward in this world. Those are all not appropriate reasons why we learn. Why do you learn? La'ahava es Hashem. Because you should love Hashem, your God. And in fact, I will show you the Rashi inside. The Rambam here references Devarim Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel. So if we will look at that Pasuk together, because I want to show you the Rashi, so that you could see it. Devarim, Perek Yud Aleph. This is what we call the second paragraph of the Shema. You say these words every single day, okay? Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'haya, what we call the second paragraph of Shema. Im Shema Tishmu al Mitzvosai. It will be if you will listen to my mitzvos. Asher, where did it just go here? V'haya im Shema Tishmu al Mitzvosai. It will be if you will listen to my mitzvos that I am commanding you today. La'ahava es Hashem Elokecha. Once again, this is not the first paragraph. This is not the Vi'ahavta Hashem Elokecha. This is the second paragraph. Also opens up with love of God. It will be, if you will listen to my mitzvahs, which I am commanding you today, La'ahava es Hashem Elokecha, to love Hashem your God, u'la'avda b'chol levavchem u'b'chol nafshchem, and to serve Him with all your heart and with all of your soul. So let's see what Rashi says here. Rashi says, Lahava es Hashem. This is the Rashi I want to show you because this is what the Rambam references. Lahava es Hashem. When we say these words every single day in Shema, what does it mean when we say, if you will listen to the mitzvos, to my mitzvos that I'm commanding you today, to love Hashem your God? What does that mean? Shelo somar. Look at this part of the screen. Shelo somar. You should not say, Hare ani lo mid b'shvil she'ehei ashir. The Rambam is quoting Rashi to Chumash. You should not say, I will learn so I become wealthy. B'shvil she'ekra rav, so that I will be called a rabbi, position of distinction. You shouldn't learn for that reason. B'shvil she'ekabel schar, you shouldn't learn so that you should be rewarded. Allah, we say these words every single day in the Shema. Kol man she'ta'asa asa me'ahava. Everything that a person does, they should do out of love. V'sof ha'kavod lavo. In the end, the kavod will come. But it should not be the primary reason that I serve God. Because I'm straying after these things, I serve God because I should serve God, because I love Him so much. So what does that mean, v'sof ha'kavod lavo? In the end, the honor will come. So I just want to share an insight from the art school footnotes. I thought we're not serving Hashem for covet. I thought we're not serving Hashem for honor. I thought we're not serving Hashem for riches. So what does this mean? So the art school Rashi elucidated footnote teaches, our passage promises reward for fulfillment of the commandments. But to love Hashem implies the commandment should be fulfilled without consideration of reward. Rashi explains, love of Hashem means your motive should be without running after reward. However, the Torah assures us that one who serves God without seeking reward, in the end, a natural result of the fulfillment is that reward will come. So, b'sof ha'kavod lavo is you didn't chase after it. Naturally, kavod will come to he who serves God without any ulterior motive. When you think of the Steipel Gaon Zatzal, when you think of Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Avrecha, when you think of Lahavdil Rav Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, the kavod comes. They don't serve Hashem for kavod. It naturally comes because a natural consequence of a siyas hamitzvos l'shem shemayim is that the kavod will come. But none of those gedolei olam say, you know, I'm learning so I'll be rich, I'm learning so I'll be called rabbi, I'm learning so I will get reward. No, kol ma she'ta'aseh sameava. Everything you do, do out of love. And we say this every single day. Let's go back to the Rambam. Okay. So, when I was thinking to myself about this concept, because we're discussing Ahavat Hashem over the past few weeks, it means that I should not serve Hashem because it says in the Torah to serve Hashem, even though I do. I shouldn't serve Hashem because I want Gan Eden. It means, think of a human being relationship with another human being, Lahavdil. You want to please the other person. If you're in a loving relationship with someone else, you want to do things that will please them. It's helpful, I find. It's very helpful. Shir Hashirim is a parable of a man and a woman in love with each other. So it's helpful to think in humanistic terms. When you do for another person that you are in a loving relationship with, you only do not because you want them to pay you back, but because you want to please them, because you love them. You don't think, what reward will I come for making, I don't know, my husband or my children or my family or my best friend a birthday party or supper. You only think, I love that person, so I want to do for them. And every time we serve Hashem, that should be our thought process. Like we said, this is one of the highest levels. So let's go back. Amru chachamim ha-mishonim, shama tomar, hareini lo mel Torah b'shvil she'ei ashir. We saw this in Rashi as well. Should not learn Torah so you'll be rich. You should not learn Torah so you have a title of distinction. Akra rabbi. B'shvil she'akabel schar b'olam ha'alba. No. One second. I heard Rav Shai Shechter last year say an interesting word into Pirkei Avos. What Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, it relates to this thought. Ehov es ha-malacha, usna es ha-rabanus. You should love work and you should hate the rabanus. What does this mean? Ehov es ha-malacha, love work, usna es ha-rabanus. The rabbanim should hate rabanus. Leaders should hate leadership. What does that mean? How could they lead if they hate Rabbanus? How could they lead if they hate leadership? So I think it relates, his pshat, which I'm going to share with you in a minute, relates to this halacha a little bit over here that we're talking about. He said, Sna'as Rabbanus, hate Rabbanus means, don't be a rav because you want a position of distinction, because you want to be called rabbi, because you want to sit up front in shul, because you want to give a speech to the whole base knesses and everybody's listening to you, because you're invited to all the simchas. Usnas or rabbanus means hate the kavod that comes along, the reward that comes along with rabbanus. Ahovas hamalacham means you should love the nitty gritty aspects of the rabbanus, the bikur cholim that nobody knows about, the hour you drove to visit your congregant who's sick in the hospital, the till you sat up till 2 a.m. helping a couple who's in the midst of Rachmana Litzlan, a divorce. He said, all those things you should love. You should love the quiet behind the scenes things, chasadim, mitzvos, avodah that rabbanim do, that leaders do to help people. Usnas or rabbanus, you should hate the spotlight and hate the limelight, because I think it relates very much here. Don't enjoy the rabbanus so you will be rich, so you'll be called rabbi, so you will get schar. Only do it because you want to help somebody else, because you love a fellow Jew. That is a hov es hamalacha. Usna as her abanus. Talmud lomer lahavas Hashem. You should love Hashem. Kol ma shatem osim lo tasu ela me'ahava. I don't serve Hashem because I want to have. I want to please God. Such a high madriga. Ba'or amru chachamim b'mitzvosav chafetz mod. Furthermore, the chachamim, the sages say, in his mitzvos, you should have such a strong desire. In his mitzvos, v'lo bischar mitzvosav. Chazal say you should desire his mitzvos. They don't say you should desire the reward of the mitzvos. V'chein hayu gedolei hachachamim mitzavim l'nevonei tamideihim u'maskileihim. And so it was, the gedolei hachachamim, the giants of the sages, would command their discerning students, their wise students. This is from Navon, and this is from those with Seichel. The gedolei hachachamim, the great amongst our sages, would command those discerning students, those wise students, b'yuchur. And they would teach them, what's b'yichud, in private. Al tiyu ka'avad, I thought, I know yichud, like a yichud room, but I wasn't sure what the Rambam was saying. They would command their discerning and wise students privately. And they would tell them, quoting Pirkei Avos, al tiyu ka'avadim ha'mishamshin es harav. So this is a quote from Pirkei Avos. You should not be like a servant who serves the rabbi, who remembers the end of the Mishnah. Let's look at it together. Al tu kavadim hamishamshin es harav amanas, the kabo pras. Ella, rather, you should be kavadim hamishamshin es harav shalo amanas, the kabo pras. Let me show you the Mishnah inside. So the Mishnah says, it's Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel. Antigonos ish socha. Why did we go here? Because the Rambam just quoted this Mishnah. Antigonos ish socha kibel mi Shimon HaTzadik. Antigonos from socho. Received from Shimon HaTzadik. Hu haya omer. This is what the Rambam just quoted. Al tiyu ka'avadim ha'mishamshin eserav amanasa kabal pras. A Jew should not be like a servant who serves his master, who is a mishamish, who serves his rabbi, his master, his teacher, his leader, because he wants a reward. You shouldn't serve him because he's going to get 5 extra bonus points on the test, on the Gemara Bechina. You shouldn't serve him because he's going to get to sit in the front seat on the long trip. You shouldn't serve him because he's going to get shrayim from the tish. You should serve him because, why? Ella, why should you serve him? Have you ka'avadim ha'misham sh'nesarav sh'lo al-manas l'kal b'pras? Like those servants who serve their master, not on the condition to receive reward. V'yimara shamayim aleichem. And the fear of heaven should be upon you. So really here in this Mishnah, we have the combination of both Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. The beginning of the Mishnah tells us how someone who loves God should behave. Someone who loves God should be as a servant who serves their master for no ulterior motive. Not so I should be called rabbi, not for prestige, not for riches, not for olam haba, not for food, nothing, because I want to make my master happy. Furthermore, that's love. I should have fear of heaven upon me. So I want to quote Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch on this Mishnah. I assume nobody has any questions or comments because nothing came up. I hope everything is clear. So let's quote Rav Shamshon Fall Hirsch on this Mishnah. Okay, here we go. Ali Sheva Shlam, are you here? Yeah, how are we enjoying Zoom, Ali Sheva, and that I can screen share and you can all see where we are and follow along, and it's so much easier. Baruch Hashem. We have to thank Ali Sheva for the Zoom. Thank you very much. It should be a schus for you and your family for Besoros Tovos and health, to enjoy Besoros Tovos. Because she really encouraged me. I said, I don't know, Zoom, I don't know. Michal, I'm getting the Zoom account for Shari for this year, so you're going to use it. And when I messed up the first week, Ali Sheva said, we're not giving up, right? And now I'm like a Zoom expert. Okay, Baruch Hashem. So here we go. Everyone with me? OK, Okay, what we're doing is Mishnah Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel. Why in Pirkei Avos? That you should be like the servant who serves the master, not to get a reward, but just stop, who serves the master, not to get a reward, but because I want to serve my master. Furthermore, the fear of heaven should be upon you. Why did we go to this Mishnah? Because if you're following along in the Rambam, what we just saw in the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuvah, Perek Yud, Halacha Dalet, is the Rambam ends by quoting this Mishnah. What? That the great sages would command their discerning and wise students privately, and they would tell them, do not be like the servant who serves the master to get a reward. Ela mipneishu hu harav. Just serve him because he's the rabbi. Ra'ui l'shamsho. It is worthy to serve him simply because he's your rav. Klomar, ivdu me'ahava. You serve him from love, not because you want to get anything from him. Imagine if you had a husband and a wife, like Shira Shem is talking about two lovers. Imagine how ludicrous this sounds. Every time they did something for each other, they said, so what am I getting back? I made supper, so what am I getting back from you? I paid the bill, so what am I getting back from you? I washed your laundry, so what am I getting back from you? What, how are you paying me back for what I just did? That's crazy. When you think about it in humanistic terms, you realize how asinine it sounds, how ludicrous, how backwards it is. Why do they do for each other in a healthy marriage with God's help? Simply because you want to please the other person. I don't expect something back because I did your laundry, and he doesn't expect something back because I did the dinner, and you don't expect something because he paid the bills, took out the garbage, picked up the kids from day camp. What, we have charts? Here's the prize. When you think of it like that, you really realize what it means to serve Hashem. Lahavdil, lahavdil, lahavdil. Out of ahava, out of love. Unfortunately, I'm on a very low level. So it's hard. It's hard to serve Hashem on such a level. But doesn't mean we shouldn't work on it. The Rambam told us this. This is what we are commanded. But it is a very, very high madriga. So let's go to see Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch has to say on that Mishnah. Right, this is from Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch commentary to Pirkei Avos. We're starting here. Hamashamshin. Okay. I gave it to you because it's going to be easier for you if you can visualize it in front of you. While on Eved, I can highlight specific sections because this is a PDF that I downloaded to my MacBook. But I'll go like this to help you follow along. Okay. Hamashamshin, who serves. While an Eved, a servant, as such, does not necessarily have personal contact with his employer. So the term shamash or shamish, like the Hebrew sharat or sharis, implies personal ministrations to a master. So it's very important. It's just a continuation, went up to a new page. Eved does not necessarily have personal contact with the employer. Think about it. Okay? The CEO who sits in the office running the entire multi-million dollar company probably does not have anything much to do with the employee who is packing boxes in the warehouse in a company of, I don't know, let's use Amazon for an example, okay? I have no idea how the workings of the company go, or Google for example. You would imagine that the CFO and the CEO and the COO don't have so much to do with the guy on the lowest rung of the ladder. I'm not saying the guy on the lowest rung of the ladder is a servant, chas v'sham, just using it as an example. So he says, well, an Eved does not necessarily have personal contact with his employer. Now, the ultimate employer is the CFO of all the small guys in the company. The CFO is the big guy. He doesn't see the small guys, though. They're still his employee, because let's look at the language of the Mishnah again. You should not be like an Eved Hamishamshin Asarav. So Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch is going to pick up this. So Rav Shamsher Fal Hirsch says, the term Shamish, Hamishamshin, okay, Altu kavadim hamishamshin esharav amanas the kabal pras. Mishamesh is from the root word shamash, the helper, the server. That's what we call the extra candle on the Hanukkah, the shamash candle, or the shamash candle, like they would say it in Israel, is the helper candle. So let's go back to reverse. The term shamish, which he relates to the term sharet, like misharis, implies personal ministrations to a master. Who did this remind me of? Shareis, umisharso Yehoshua ben Nun nar, lo yamush mipia ohal. Yehoshua ben Nun is described as the mishareis Moshe. Shamsher Fal Hirsch says the term shamash or shareis implies personal ministrations to master. When you think of Yehoshua ben Nun, it makes sense. He's a perfect example, by the way, of this mission. I just thought of it now. Yehoshua ben Nun served Moshe Rabbeinu because he loved Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why he didn't move from the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu. In the end, the kavod came, like we saw in Rashi. Don't serve so you'll be called rabbi. Don't serve for money. Don't serve for kavod. But ultimately, the kavod will come. Isn't that what happened to Yoshua ben Nun? He served Moshe because he loved Moshe. He did the emes because that was the emes. In the end, who was appointed leader to take the Jews into Eretz Canaan, Eretz Israel? None other than Yoshua ben Nun. He served with no ulterior motive. But ultimately, the kavod came. So, misharis or shamash, hamishamshin es harav, implies personal ministration to a master. So, we're not simply avadim. We should feel a personal sense of connection with our master, capital M. It can be readily presumed that there do exist avadim, there do exist servants who, if they have the good fortune to be called upon to render personal service to their employee, derive so much pleasure from this personal contact with their master, they regard it sufficient reward in and of itself. Think of someone who has the opportunity to drive a gada from one place to the next. My father-in-law, he should live and be well, still talks about the one time he had the opportunity to drive Rav Moshe Zatzal, Rav Moshe Feinstein, and his Rebbetzin from the mountains to the city. One time he drove Rav Moshe and his Rebbetzin, and he still talks about it, what the Rebbetzin said on the trip, and what the Gadol Dor Zatzal, Rav Moshe Feinstein said on the trip one time. Was it for payment? Was it for fame? There are avadim who, if they have the good fortune to be called upon to render personal service to the master, derive so much pleasure from this personal contact with the master. My father-in-law derived so much pleasure from that one opportunity he had to drive Rav Moshe Feinstein from the mountains to the city. They regard it as sufficient reward in and of itself. The reward is that I got to drive Rav Moshe Feinstein and his Rebbetzin from the mountains to the city. I don't want other reward. The reward is the mitzvah. And have no thought of any other compensation. I don't need to be called Rebbe. I don't want money. I don't want fame. I don't want covet. I want nothing. I only want to be able to be osek in this mitzvah. Such, Antigonus Ish Socho declares, should be our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam and our life service to him. And the reality is, on my level, we do want things from Hashem. We do. Hashem, if I do this, you do this. If I take this Kabbalah, you do that. The ultimate level is those things will come, but I'm supposed to serve Hashem with pure love. We see it repeatedly in Shema. We already looked at it and examined in the first paragraph of Shema, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha. Tonight we saw it in the second paragraph of Shema with Rashi, it's quoted by the Rambam, V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha. The whole goal should just be to serve Hashem because I love Hashem. It's such an entirely different way of approaching our avodah. The fulfillment of his commandment should not be treated as an activity apart or remote from him. It's not that there's God and then there are his mitzvos. No, it's not there's Hashem over here and the mitzvos over here. Rather, every mitzvah, every commandment should serve to call us into his presence, before his countenance, in order to perform within his sight a service pleasing to him. That's what I said. And you think about it, like the lovers in Shir HaShir, a lover does not do. Man doesn't do for the woman, so she pays him back with something, and she doesn't do for him, so he pays her back. What kind of relationship is that? That's crazy. You're always checking off the boxes, what you did for me and what I did for you. It's so ridiculous. Is that how we serve Hashem? I don't know. Something we should be thinking about. Sometimes, I'm not saying this year, I'm not saying tonight, I'm not saying this is such a... I'm just pointing out, sometimes people tell me after Shir, sometimes, I think that the biggest comment I get about my Shir is they made me think. Your Shir gave me food for thought. What you said made me think. I think that this is a lot of food for thought these past few weeks on this topic of Ahavas Hashem, because maybe on our level, on my level, it should turn around our whole approach to serving the Ribbono Shel Olam. Am I waiting to check off boxes? Hashem, I daven today, I made brachos today, I washed the tefillos l'adayim today, not in that order. I was mafrish chal. I'm just giving examples. I was not mafrish chal today. I asked shaylos today. This is true. Six different shaylos about the 9 days. The halacha is relevant to me that I need to know. Yes. So now, what did he do before me, Hashem, today? What kind of relationship is that? I want to make you happy. The mitzvot are not separate from Hashem. They are part and parcel of God. Every such act should bring us nearer to Hashem and should so enrich us with His approval. That the realization of His nearness. What do I want? I just want to be close to you, Hashem. And approval may render the true human being so happy. The richest reward is Hamishamshin Esharav. But the richest reward is service of God. It will not even occur to him to seek additional compensation. Could you imagine? It's ludicrous. We all know this one of Abba. My father would have said, I mean, it's way before I came into the family. This goes back, I don't know how many years ago. We already had the 30th year site of Rav Moshe Feinstein's itself, so we're going back a long time. Imagine if my father dropped him off and now said, okay, you know, could you pay me? It's funny. The richest reward is the service of God. It will not even occur to him to seek additional compensation. That's what the Mishnah says. Al tu ka'avadim ha'misham shen esarav al-manasa kabal pras. We're not checking off boxes. This is what I did for you, Hashem. What did you do for me? Ella, rather, havu ka'avadim ha'misham shen esarav shelo al-manasa kabal pras. What does it mean? The asiyas ha-mitzvah itself is the greatest pleasure. The asiyas ha-mitzvah itself is the greatest pleasure. I want nothing beyond that, rather than to please you, Hashem. This is the attitude which our sages characterize elsewhere by the terms l'shem shamayim, or l'shma. In other words, I serve Hashem l'shem shamayim means because Hashem said, and I love Hashem, and I want to please Hashem. The Mishnah ends by telling us, so the first part of the Mishnah, based on understanding, and where the Rambam quotes this Mishnah in Hilchos Teshuvah, under the category of love of God, we understand that this first part of the Mishnah is telling what it means to be in a relationship of love with Hashem. The Mishnah ends, however, by telling us about Mora Shamayim, which we describe as fear of heaven. The Mishnah ends by saying you should love Hashem so much that you don't want anything, rather only to please Him. That is the greatest reward. V'hi mora shamayim aleichem. The reverence, the fear of heaven should be upon you. So Rav Shem Shafal Hirsch says, V'hi mora shamayim aleichem. In human relationships, once again, it's helpful because we're human beings and our finite minds are so limited and we can't comprehend the infinite. So therefore, it helps to speak about our relationship with a God in humanistic terms. In human relationships, the greater intimacy of contact involved in personal ministrations to a master usually tends to lessen the servant's respect for his employer. Read that sentence again. It's true. You know the expression, I'm sorry to tack this onto Rosh Hashanah Shavuot Hirsch, but just to help us understand it. Familiarity breeds contempt. It means that the greater intimacy of contact you have with a master usually tends to lessen the servant's respect for his employer. You become so close, you become like buddies. But when you're like buddies and chummy chummy and so close to each other, you lose a certain degree of reverence or awe for that person. Unfortunately today, it's true in the generation in which we live, where there's so much lack of respect for those in greater positions than us. Sometimes our children speak about teachers, or rabbeim, or even parents. Sometimes we speak to our parents. Sometimes we're too close of friends, and we don't have, sometimes there's too much love, and there's not enough yira. Wait a minute, where's Joanna? Joanna, remember? You told us this, Rav Gav. Remind me what it is that it used to be. Could you type it in the chat, please? Because I want to quote it because I know it's relevant. Ahav, ahav, yoyor. Could you please type it? Nod, yes. She's not saying anything. Oh, she did it. 1 second. Oh, Avinu Malkeinu, thank you. So, Avinu, Avinu means too much love. Right? My father, my father. Malkeinu, Malkeinu means too much yira, too much fear. We have to know that he is both Avinu and Malkeinu. Avinu means we have to revere the Almighty. No, we have to love the Almighty, but Malkeinu means we also have to revere him. Did I explain it correctly? No, you had a way of saying it. Avinu, Avinu, Malkeinu, love, love. Could you type it, please? Balei teshuva are often al ahava. Avinu, Avinu, okay, and... Go ahead. You could all see the screen. Everybody's watching or typing. You stop typing. What's the Euro Euro one? This isn't a trick. I want to include it in Shia. I don't remember it exactly. Okay. You forgot also? John is not typing. Okay. We can have Avinu Malkeinu means. Avinu Malkeinu means, I think, one of the things we explain in this year for purposes of our learning tonight. Avinu is a relationship of intense love with Hashem, like you love your father. Malkeinu is a relationship of intense yira, like you would fear or revere a king. When it comes to our relationship with God, this Mishnah proves that we need both aspects. We need to know that we serve Him with love. That's the first part of the Mishnah, because He is our Father. And we only want to please our Father. We're not checking off what our Father did to us today. We should so please our Father. However, don't forget He's also Malkeinu, and we also have to have a measure of reverence for the Almighty. Which is what Rav Shamshar Falhurst says. Why does the Mishnah end by talking about Yehi Mor Shamayim Aleichem? Because in human relationships, the greater intimacy of contact involved in personal ministrations to a master usually tends to lessen the servant's respect for the employer. When you become too close to a person, if there's too much ahava, often it diminishes the yira. So Antigonos Ish Socha reminds us that even though I'm telling you, serve God because you love Him, with no ulterior motive, not because you want a reward, not because there's a checkbox, not because you want to say, what did He do for me? This is what I did for you. You love Him. Kavadim ha-mishamshin, mishamesh, misharesh, shalom anasa kabal pras. But don't come so close to Hashem with so much ahava that you forget. Yemor shamayim aleichem. Do not let that all that ahava diminish the yira. The Lord says, Hashem says Rav Hirsch, Parsha Shmidi, Bekrovai Akadesh, to those who are close to me, I'll be sanctified. That's by the death of Nadav and Avihu. The nearer a man is to me, says Hashem, the more I expect to be sanctified by him. So my nearness may preserve him from even the slightest transgression. Hence, Misham Shin Shalo Amenas the Kabbal Pras is followed by the admonition, Yehemo Shamayim Aleichem. And as we're understanding this Mishnah tonight, based on the fact that the Rambam quotes it, sorry, this is a Psak of Rav Herschel Schachter. It's very interesting. Did you see this? It's totally not related to Shir. Oh, it is. Torah. One second, let me see the comments. It's on my screen. It was the next thing on my screen. I wasn't planning to screen share that. Here we go. Often, people have grown up with feeling Yiddishkeit as a burden, feel Malkeinu, Malkeinu, al yira. The struggle is to find that balance. Okay, so this is what I was trying to say. And this Mishnah, it's Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel, in Perkei Avos, is really reminding us, Antigonish Isocho, is reminding us to find that balance. We can't have a relationship all of Ahava with Hashem, but also you can't have a relationship of all yira with Hashem. And Antigonish Yisrochu, who got the Masorah from Shimon, received the Masorah from Shimon HaTzadik, and he says you have to figure out how to balance Avinu Malkeinu, Ahavas Hashem, Misham Shin Esarav Shalom, Amenahas Kabo Pras, serve Hashem as a master, not for the sake of reward. Nevertheless, Vihi Moro Shamayim Aleichem. So this is what I was trying to remember from Rav Gavjo, and I think ties in exactly to this Mishnah, where the Mishnah is telling us, find that balance. Let's go back to, don't be sorry, you're not a slow typer. That was very helpful. Thank you very much. Let's go back to the Rambam. Does anyone have any questions or comments besides for Joanna, who I asked to help us out over here? Oh, I wanted to, good, I lifted my, I do have my Mishnah Torah right here. Whoops, I don't want to bend my pages, which I'm doing. It's good I left into it. I have my Rambam right here with my notes and my stickies and what I wanted to tell you. So I wanted to quote from Malki Feldman. I saw you here, right? I think I saw Malki here. Yeah, Malki, I quoted a different story from this Sefer this morning. You gave me the Sefer. Living Amunah 3 by Rabbi David Ashir. I quoted from a different story from it this morning, different piece. So I wanted to quote something from here that I think is relevant to what we are learning. One second. I'm quoting from Living Amunah 3 by Rabbi David Ashir. Thank you to Malki Feldman for the Sefer. Okay. So it's called, what is precious? This insight is called, not so long, what is precious to Hashem? Okay. I think it relates to what we're speaking about tonight, what we're learning, I should say. Everyone wants to succeed. It's true. Everyone wants to succeed. A person invests himself in an area in which he thinks he could be successful. Right? You don't go into a line of work where you know that you will struggle and you won't be good at it because you're setting yourself up for failure if you want to succeed. So you invest in an area in which you think you could be successful. Interestingly, talking about the balance of Avinu and Malkeinu, too much love, says Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch, will breed contempt, in my own words, but that's what he was saying. Too much Yira, you'll run away. We saw that in Rashi, V'apta Shem El Kecha. I think we saw it last week. Ein Domeh, who said Rav Meha, Verlo said Rav Meira. If it's too much Yira, when the master gets too hard and harsh, you're going to run away. If it's too much Yira, if it's too much Ahava, familiarity breeds contempt. So Antigonus Yisocho says, find the balance. Serve Hashem from Ahava. The Rambam quotes that Parak and Pirkei Avos in his discussion of how we should love God. But don't forget, says Antigonus Yisocho, you have to still revere the Almighty. So Rabbi David Ashir writes, a person invests himself in an area in which he thinks he could be successful. This also applies to religion. If a person thinks he'll be good at it, he'll want to grow and become closer to Hashem. However, if he thinks he's not cut out for a life of Torah and mitzvot, it's not for me, I can't do this, I've tried 1,000 times to stop speaking Lashon Hara, to have Kavanah on benching, not to walk during Asher Yatzar, to go to another shir, to be a little bit more tzanu, I can't do it. If he thinks he's not cut out for it, or he won't be as successful as everyone else, he will naturally stay away. So in other words, if I have too much Yira, I'm too afraid of God, and I'm too afraid of failure, and I have no love, I'm not going to become involved in being a servant of Hashem, because I feel like I can't do it anyway. This is one of the ploys, he writes, of the evil inclination, of the Yetzer Hara. It tells a person, you're a Rasha, you're wicked, you'll never amount to anything, clearly you're a failure, why bother? Sometimes the Yetzer Hara comes and he says that, not just to whoever Rabbi David Ashir wrote the book for, but to you and me. You're not successful. How many times did you try and think before you speak? You just said that? Really? How many times did you try and think to have kavanah with every bracha, and I'm not sure if I made a shakal or I didn't make a shakal? Did I make a bar nefashos? Didn't I make a bar nefashos? I'm not cut out for this. If you have too much terror and fear before the Ribbono Shel Olam and not any love, you'll think Hashem doesn't want me. We must know this is not true. When it comes to serving Hashem, it doesn't matter, he writes, how smart a person is, what background he comes from, or what he did yesterday. Hashem wants us to serve him the best we can today, now, where you are right now at 9:12 p.m. on Orly Yom Beis Av. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. I mean, it does, but we have to move past that. But if I become stuck in the mistakes of yesterday, and I'm only afraid of God, and I don't love Hashem, I don't feel that he loves me. Why do I want to be in this relationship? A relationship of only Yira, the people are going to break up. So what will happen, Chas V'Sham? That's what Rashi says. The person will run away. The Rambam writes, by the way, he's quoting the Rambam, in his commentary to the Mishnah, Maseches Makos, that a foundation of our Amunah is a person who does even one of the 613 mitzvahs properly without ulterior motives, which is what we're talking about tonight in that Mishnah. Lo al menasa kabel pras, a person who does even one mitzvah properly without any ulterior motive will earn eternal life. In religion, it's not about outer appearance. It's about our heart and our desire to serve Hashem as best we can. So what's my love of Ahavas Hashem? It's laughable compared to some of the gadol. It's less than laughable than some of the gadolim that I mentioned tonight. But that's my level. If I see myself as a rasha, Alti Rasha Bifnei Atzmecha, that I will never succeed, because Hashem loves me too. Yes, on my low level, on my struggles with Ahavas Hashem, with my Yetzer Hara, with my, I'm not sure if I made a bar nefashos. Right now, Hashem loves me. So I should want to please Him. It's about our hearts, our desire to serve Hashem as best we can. Everyone was given different strengths and different weaknesses. We're not expected to be like other people, but we are expected to fulfill our own potential. And that's learning to find the balance, like what God teaches, but really it's Antigonus Yisocho who teaches the balance between Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Sometimes, he says, we get confused by superficiality. And he tells a story. I'll try and finish it in time, but I don't know if it's exactly going to happen in time, but I'll try not to go too long over. Rav Lugasi told the story of a young man who wasn't too bright. Throughout his elementary and high school years in yeshiva, he managed to learn one parak of Gemara, Eile Metzius, which deals with the laws of lost property. However, he learned it very well. He reviewed it until he knew it as well as he could. And when it came time for him to marry, he introduced himself to a shadchan. The shadchan said, "How much Torah do you know?" The boy said, "Set up on our very high level. Some know half of Shas, some have completed Shas." The boy said, "Well, I know one parak of Shas, Eile Metzius." The shadchan did not appreciate the boy's self-sacrifice, his dedication, and his diligence to acquire that one parak. He told the boy in jest, "Sorry, I don't have any metzias for you. You'll have to find your aveda elsewhere." It was a play on words on the parak of Gemara. "I don't have any metzias, any finds for you. You'll have to find your aveda, your lost object," meaning your shidduch, "somewhere else." The young man felt worthless. With a broken spirit, he came back to the mashgiach of his yeshiva, and he said, "I don't think I should bother continuing learning. I will never amount to anything." The mashgiach said, "You don't know how great you are." He brought him to the stipler Gaon, Zatzal, for chizuk. They told the stipler what happened. He took the young man by his hand. He brought him to his bookshelf. He showed him a set of books called the Kehilos Yaakov, and he said, "I spent many years writing these books," said the stipler, "on the entire Shas. But you should know, when you open your mouth and you learn Parak Eile Metzias, Hashem is more nachas, more pleasure out of that Parak than 1,000 like me. It's so difficult for you to learn, and yet you do it anyway. With a broken spirit, with humility, without pride, with no ulterior motive." When I was preparing for Shir and I came to that part of this Ha'ara, I knew I was Hashem was guiding me, because isn't that what we were talking about tonight? Serving Hashem without an ulterior motive. There's no checkbox. "You," said the stipler, "just learn with a broken spirit, without pride, with no ulterior motive. Doesn't matter how much ground you cover. What matters is you're so trying, and you're totally l'shem shemayim." And isn't that Rav Shamshon Falhurst said? This is what the earlier sages have referred to as l'shem shemayim. Every Jew, says Rabbi Ashir, can give Hashem satisfaction by trying as hard as he can. It's not necessarily about how much we accomplish. It's about how hard we tried to accomplish. We don't know how powerful even the smallest deeds are. When a person stops in the middle of a business day to daven mincha, even if he couldn't concentrate properly, and even if business thoughts are racing through his mind, the fact that he stopped during his working hours because he loves Hashem, that's nachas ruach. All of our mitzvahs are precious to God. We should never be fooled into thinking all or nothing, or if I'm not going to be a gadol, why bother? If we do what we can, then we too are great. Then we too, Be'ezras Hashem, can fulfill our own potential. It comes by finding a balance between the Ahava and the Yira. Can't be only Avinu, Avinu. That's too much Ahava. But it can't be too much Malkeinu, Malkeinu. That's only Yira. It comes from realizing that the Ribbono Shel Olam loves us. And if we truly love Him back, we will serve Him for no ulterior motive. Ehovas HaMalacha, only because I love Hashem, I want to serve Him. Usnatas HaRabbanus, all the titles, all the distinction, all the wealth, all the reward, I don't need that. But to serve you, to bring you pleasure, like the lovers in Shir HaShirim, that's all I want, Hashem. And don't forget how we began Shir. These 8 days from Beis Av through Tes Av correspond to the 8 days of Sukkos. Sukkos was in the merit of Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen was the man of Ahava, Ohev, Shalom, Rodev Shalom, Ohev Esabrios, Umakarvan, LaTorah. It's such an opportune time for us to be working on our Ahava, to come closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, L'Ilui Nishmas, and the Zecher Nishmas, and Merim Fod, Merim Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah, Hashem, and Hashem, and the Merit of our Torah.